The recordings are started.
Thank you. Everyone, this is the 82nd meeting of the CWGIANA. It is 15:04 UTC on July 14th, 2016, and I will turn it over to the chairs now for call to begin.
Thank you, Grace. It's Jonathan Robinson speaking. Lisa conveys her apologies. She's tied up in a series of meetings this week and so was unable to attend regardless of the time today. Not totally sure I appreciate being reminded that it's the 82nd meeting. That seems like a great deal of time to have been spent in all of this, and I guess I might have some of the highest number of minutes on these calls in terms of you hearing my voice, so I apologize that you had to hear a lot from me. I will try and keep things brief and succinct and functional, and we'll work through what we have to today. Just a couple of opening remarks, really, under the status update. We obviously haven't met for a while, although there has been a relatively high frequency, sometimes twice a week, normally once a week, of our implementation oversight task force group, and staff have been extremely busy working on the implementation aspects of this together with others, such as the ICANN legal team and of course, Sidley working together with us and them. We'll get a proper implementation update in a moment from staff, but what's become apparent really over the last week or two is that the intensity of the work that's being done to conclude the implementation is going to ramp up, or at least it will need a ramp up of our input. What that translates to in practice is that Lisa and I feel that the group should meet more often, more frequently, in order to be able to communicate effectively with staff as they complete their work. And therefore, that we don't need the IOTF, the Oversight Task Force, because the purpose of that was to meet frequently and give feedback to staff and assist staff in their implementation work in the absence of CWG meetings. So the concern is if we've got the CWG meeting regularly and the IOTF meeting regularly, that doesn't make sense. So our plan, subject to no objections or concerns from you, is that we essentially reconverge the IOTF and the CWG and make sure that we have a single meeting, which will be CWG meetings, on a relatively frequent basis going forward until we can more or less conclude the key oversight or interaction work with staff on the implementation. I guess what the other point that I need to be remind us, including myself, of our remit and purpose. As you know, we, of course, designed the proposal. And now that proposal having been handed over to the ICG, dealt with by the NTIA, is ultimately being implemented by staff, which is their job. And our role is to ensure that their implementation is consistent with our proposal and to utilize Sidley's help as and where necessary to provide us with any input on that consistency, should there be any issues there, and or in terms of general legal advice as the implementation goes on. We agreed at our previous meeting that we were happy with Sidley working directly with ICANN on this and reporting back to us as necessary. It appears that many of the smaller issues can be readily resolved through direct interaction with the implementation staff and or ICANN's legal staff, and there's no point in inserting the CWG in between. Where it is important is if there's some form of discrepancy between the view of Sidley and ICANN legal and or implementation staff, and in some way the CWG's view is required. So that in a nutshell is where we are right now, that's the status update as to where we stand. I think it's simplest if I simply hand over for a brief update on the implementation to Trang and her team working on this, and then we'll ask Sidley to help us highlight some of the key issues that are currently being dealt with. And really, for the purposes of this call, I think those are likely to be in and around the PTI bylaws. So to set your expectations, I think that's where we will focus the bulk of our energies at this, in this case. But let me pass over to Trang to deal with item two under the agenda. Go ahead, Trang.
Thank you, Jonathan. It looks like there's a full agenda today. So in the interest of time, I will go through the update fairly quickly, and then please stop me if you have any questions or would like to make any comments. Next slide, please. So we've made a lot of progress, actually, in the last few weeks, particularly in track one of activities, which contains the root zone management projects, primarily the parallel testing and the root zone maintainer agreement. We had completed the 90-day parallel testing period last week. So that is now completed. We are working on with VeriSign on a final parallel testing report that we'll be submitting to NTIA, and the announcement for the completion of that 90-day testing period will go up today. So that's an important and successful milestone in our transition implementation planning work. The other item that we've also finalized in track one is the root zone maintainer agreement with VeriSign. That has been finalized and has been posted on, I believe it was June 30th, the last day of the Helsinki meeting. It is currently published for a 30-day public review period as per the ICG proposal. It is not a public comment period, as it is a bilateral vendor agreement with VeriSign, but it has been posted for public review. So that essentially concludes the majority of the work that we have for track one, the root zone management track. There's some, as I mentioned, final wrap-up things that we need to do, which, for example, the final report on the parallel testing for NTIA, and then also ICANN board approvals and execution of the RZMA, but the bulk of the work is completed. With regards to the named SLEs, we are working on scheduling a meeting with the DTA for next week to go over with them our proposed performance targets for the new measurements that they have defined. This is as per the agreement that we had with the DTA in Marrakesh. We will be circulating to the DTA as well as to the CWG the report that has our proposed performance targets prior to the call. So we're hoping to get that out either tomorrow or early next week. So that is on track. And as a reminder, the results of that work, which will be the performance targets for PTI for the naming function, will be included in the ICANN PTI contract. Next slide, please. On PTI, I know that there's a significant portion of the agenda today that's dedicated to talk about PTI, so I'll just give a really quick update on the various materials that have been posted. The PTI Articles of Incorporation was posted for public comment, was the first document to be posted for public comment, and that is the one item that is required for us to incorporate PTI, which we would like to have completed prior to our submission of the implementation report to NTIA on August 12th, and that's the reason we needed to get that out for public comment early so that we can have that process be completed in time for us to initiate the incorporation process. As of today, we have not received any public comments on the PTI Articles of Incorporation. The next set of materials that were posted for public comments were the PTI governance documents, which included the conflict of interest policy, the board code of conduct, and the PTI expected standard of behavior. All of those are drafted based on ICANN's documents, and they were posted with the intent of finalizing the public comment process in time for us to have those documents be considered final by the time we submit our implementation report to NTIA on August 12th as well. The one item that will not be completed by the time we have to submit our implementation report to NTIA would be the PTI bylaws. That was posted for public comments, I believe, either on the 11th or on the 12th. I don't have the date right now, but around one of those 2 days. That document will not be finalized by the time we submit the report to NTIA, but it should be finalized shortly thereafter. As of this morning, we have not received any public comments on the bylaws or any of the PTI governance documents. Next slide, please. The IN IPR, I think Greg is going to give us an update on the work around that. So I'll skip over that item for now. On the RZERG, the public comment for the RZERG charter has closed. There were seven entities and individuals that submitted comments on the charter along several different areas. There is an agenda item later on this call for the RZERG charter, so I will go over a couple of areas where there were comments that we want to highlight for this group. The next step for the RZERG would be to initiate the process for appointing organizations to appoint representatives to the committee. And we're hopeful to be able to have that committee formed by the time we submit our implementation report to NTIA on August 12th as well. On the CSC, the status of that is that we're in a period where the appointing organizations are following their own internal processes to appoint members and liaisons to the CSC. The deadline for submissions of candidates is next Friday. We have received some submissions, and we understand that many of the SOs and ACs are currently in the midst of their appointment processes. So we look forward to receiving those appointments by next Friday. The escalation processes essentially includes updating of a lot of our process documentation. That work has started and is almost final, and we don't expect any issues with completing that work by the time we submit our implementation report to NTIA. Next slide, please. This slide has the projects relating to the CCWG track of work. So in the interest of time, I won't spend too much time going over these items unless there's any specific questions or requests for updates. So that is it for me, Jonathan, and I will turn it back to you for any questions.
Thank you, Trang. That was very efficient. Much appreciated. Any questions or comments for Trang, or in fact, I didn't invite comments on the sort of status update in the beginning, so on either items one or two, any questions, comments, or issues? Okay, well, seeing none, then I'll nudge us on. Thanks, Trang. If anyone does have particular points, feel free to raise them either during the call or on list. Really, I think the substance of where we wanted to direct today's call was to look at the issues in and around the formation and implementation of PTI. My opinion is that the Articles of Incorporation are relatively straightforward. It's a two-page document, and there's not a lot of potential controversy there, although it'd be good to hear from Sidley if they do satisfactorily incorporate whatever input Sidley's put in. There's also the key governance documents. In the first instance, the conflict of interest policy, the board code of conduct, and the expected standards of behavior. My understanding is these three documents all essentially derive from and have significant commonality with those of the ICANN board and therefore should be both familiar to us and relatively uncontroversial. So my suggestion to you is that we concentrate our efforts now on the PTI bylaws and any issues that Sharon and Sidley are able to flag for us that need discussion or input. We haven't yet got, I think, those the points or concerns in a tabulated, easy-to-manage format, but I think that that shouldn't be problematic to be able to go through those and have a look at those. So I think I'm going to hand over to you, Sharon, to deal with this next section. And really, I think from my perspective at least, it's primarily around the articles, which, as I said, I don't expect a lot of discussion on, but there may be points that people want to raise or questions or issues. And then to focus our attention in on the bylaws and any concerns or issues that arise with those. And I think it's worth flagging that those bylaws, as posted for public comment, do not necessarily reflect all of Sidley's views and advice that the CWG may want to take account of, and therefore we may need Sidley's help and input in providing public comment in on the bylaws. So I'd really encourage all of you to pay as much attention to this as possible, both on list and in the meeting, and we'll deal with it as we can. So with that, if you are so willing, Sharon, I'll hand over to you to make comments on any points of concern you may have on the articles and then in and on to the bylaws. And of course, like I said, if anyone wants to raise other questions or issues around some of the other formation documents, by all means do, but it feels to me like articles and bylaws are where we want to focus our principal attention.
Thanks, Jonathan. In terms of the PTI articles, we did provide comments to ICANN Legal on those. Those are not reflected in the version that was put out for public comment, but I don't think they're terribly controversial. And one is just a point that relates to an overall governance point, which I'll cover, which is the threshold for amendments of the articles and also the bylaws. So that's the status of the PTI articles. I understand that CWG is also looking at the purpose that is articulated in the PTI articles and may have a comment there. In terms of the, and is there anyone want to make any comments about the articles before I move to the bylaws?
So I think I'll just make one comment there, Sharon, and I think I'd like to capture an action for this group then is to decide on whether or not to submit public comment on the articles and to prepare that, and if so, to prepare that submission. And it sounds to me like, for the record, we should do that, because the danger is if we don't, then notwithstanding the fact that these points may well be acceptable, we need to record them somehow. And so it feels to me like, unless I'm missing something, we should submit those as part of the public comment. Trang or anyone else, by all means, come in if you think there's a more effective and if it's a way to get those points recognized and sorted out, but if not, then I suggest we go via the public comment route.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Trang. No, I agree with you. I think the public comment is the proper way to express any concerns or issues that the CWG has with the drafted materials. Specifically with regards to the PTI articles of incorporation, that topic was and the purpose of PTI within those articles of incorporation. That topic was raised within the IOTF, and what we could do in terms of maybe getting the conversation started within the CWG is pull the specific transcript for that portion, you know, where it was discussed and circulate to this group so that everyone is aware of what the issue is and also what the some of the thoughts that were shared by members of the IOTF.
Yeah, thanks, Trang. I think that's a helpful practical suggestion and also consistent with sort of converging the work of the group. So let's please do that. And then I think it would be useful to capture the other points that Sharon's made as well, so we know the scope of what we're potentially putting the input on, and then we'll have to prepare that public comment.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, Trang. Back to you, Sharon.
Thanks. So moving on to the bylaws. So we've had, Sidley and ICANN Legal, we've had a number of productive calls about the bylaws. We've exchanged multiple drafts. We've circulated those versions to you as they've been turned. And I thought it would be helpful just to highlight, you know, where we stand on the various points. As I think I circulated as well to you, there is a chart that ICANN Legal prepared for internal purposes for its board, I believe, of the parts of the PTI bylaws, the aspects of the PTI bylaws that are not cannot directly be tied to the CWG proposal. And so I think those are just things they wanted to highlight. But in some cases, what is in the PTI bylaws that were posted for comment reflect precisely what CWG requested, and it's more that just I think ICANN Legal wanted to flag that there isn't a direct corollary in the proposal, which we think is, you know, completely appropriate. The proposal is not as detailed as the bylaws, of course. It can't be, otherwise we would have attached the bylaws to the proposal. So by definition, the process of drafting means you're putting in more detail than is in the high-level proposal. So in certain cases, the CWG approach is the approach that is reflected in the bylaws that were put up for comment. And I don't think in some of those cases I won't even flag that is part of the governance chart that ICANN prepared, because what's in the bylaws is what CWG requested. But there are certain places where there's a divergence, and I will point out those places and see if there's a different view that CWG would have, and then that can be reflected in the public comment. So starting at the top, and if you want to put the bylaws up, you could, but I don't think you need them up there, because these are all topics we've talked about before and I think can be talked about at a level of generality that where you don't actually need to see the language. So the first point, though, is the purpose, and this is similar to the point that we were raising on the articles, that we understand that CWG may have some suggested changes to the purpose that is articulated in the PTI bylaws, and the purpose in the articles and the bylaws will largely look the same. So that's just the same open point. The second topic is the provisions of Annex C of the CWG proposal. As you may recall, there were some provisions in Annex C. It had been requested that those provisions be carried over into the bylaws and also into the contract between ICANN and PTI. ICANN had some concerns about that language. In some cases, they didn't view it as appropriate for bylaws, or they thought it was more appropriate for the contract, or they thought it didn't actually reflect the current way that decisions are made. And so what was included in the PTI bylaws that was posted for comment are two general provisions that don't directly tie to Annex C, but have some of the principles from Annex C, but we don't have all of the, you know, the bullets that was in that chart that we had been circulating on Annex C. So I think on that one, it's really, you know, a question for CWG as to how you wish to advance it. It's not a legal point. It's really more, some of it's more kind of operational, and the question is whether what's there in the PTI bylaws, the two provisions that were included by ICANN, is sufficient, or whether there's still a feeling that more needs to be done in the bylaws themselves. Okay. So I'll just keep moving on through the list here. The next item does require CWG input on, and that is for director qualifications. You may recall that we had asked a question about, with director qualifications for the PTI board, we had noted that in the ICANN bylaws there is a requirement for diversity, and should a similar provision be included in the PTI bylaws. And the response back from CWG was, yes, that should be there. We should have some notion of geographic and other diversity. And then there was a further thought from CWG that the diversity should be evaluated among the nominating committee directors as a group, and then among the ICANN directors as a group. Just a reminder for everyone, we'll have five directors. One director is the president of PTI, two directors appointed by ICANN, and two directors nominated by the nominating committee. The comment that was raised by ICANN Legal was that having this diversity apply to the two PTI, the nominating committee directors, and then separately to the two ICANN directors is might be quite difficult. It's hard to get diversity among two people, and that instead what should be looked at is the nominating committee should look at the overall, the group of five, and say, are we satisfied that the two people we're putting forward will help achieve diversity? And I understand that that is more consistent with the way it works at the ICANN level. We thought that made sense, and so the current draft of the bylaws that's up for comment has the concept of diversity, but it's looking at the overall group. So that we thought that was okay. And if anyone has any concerns, can raise them, but we thought that seemed like a good solution.
So, Sharon, it's Jonathan speaking. I think just in terms of a matter of process, I think it's very useful you walking us through at a high level these issues. I imagine it's hard for people to track all these issues and think about the substance and detail in them. It feels to me like what we're going to need here is, we can get some initial feedback, and to the extent that people are on top of it and are able to provide initial feedback on any of these issues, that would be useful. But it feels to me like we are going to have to tabulate these, subject, issue, CWG response, and do some work along those lines, which I think was something you had potentially volunteered to do. And I think for us, practically, the decision is, do we get ICANN staff help to do this, or does Sidley help us to do it? But one way or another, it still feels useful for me that you walk us through exactly as you're doing, but I just wanted to flag to you and others how I think we might deal with this going forward. Some of these things might be relatively easy to resolve, like the one you've just mentioned, maybe a relative no-brainer to just look at the current wording and CWGA simply accepts that. Others, like the one prior, may require more discussion and working out. Thanks, Sharon, and thanks for your check mark in the chat, Cheryl.
Yeah, we, Jonathan, that is absolutely fine. We have our own just chart we're working off of, and we can just share that with you with just a little cleanup. So that's fine. We can give you something to be looking at.
All right. If that's not a significant additional piece of work for you, then I think that would be very helpful. I think we should just probably capture that as an action and ask for you to do that and share that with us, please.
Yeah, we can do that.
Thank
okay.
You.
Then I will keep moving through the topics. The next topic is who is the chairperson of the PTI board? And the CWG had raised that we wanted to make sure that wasn't, the president shouldn't be the chair just because it's, good governance for the president and the chair to be separate. And then CWG came back and said that they thought also that the chair should be someone from among the nominating committee members, the nominating committee directors. That is what the PTI draft bylaws say right now, but that was flagged as a question, and it was included in the cover memo that was put forward with the posting of the bylaws. And it's just a question of whether that requirement would be too limiting, and you might not get the best person to chair if you put that requirement on. So that's something to consider. Another topic to consider was the terms for each director. So the proposal from CWG was that it would be a two-year term. We had noted that the maximum under California law is 4 years, so you had flexibility. It's the default is 1 year, the maximum is 4 years, so flexibility between those two ranges. And you all had come back with requesting 2 years. ICANN had said, that's going to be requiring a constant onboarding process because these are staggered terms. So every year there's somebody coming in that's new or a couple people coming in that's new. And is 2 years really the right length? And would you want to consider something slightly longer, maybe 3 years? So that's a thought, something for you to think about. Similar related concept is the term limits. So the CWG had proposed that you can't serve more than two consecutive terms. And if those terms are 2 years, obviously that's 4 years, and the question is whether that's going to be causing people to have to cycle off too quickly and create a lot of processes having to reorient new directors, and whether the term limits is something that you want to have. The next item is an issue that flows through
Sharon,
a number of...
Just come in on that previous point, because I think that is an interesting one, and it may be, and if, please, others, if you do have a comment you'd like to raise now while Sharon runs through, just raise your hand, and Sharon and myself will both look out for that. Actually, on this topic, the CWG... Well, first of all, I should record that I have a perspective or perceived conflict of interest being one of the two initial directors on that. But notwithstanding that, as chair of this group, we did discuss this in some detail and came to the outcome we did. But my personal feeling is that, that's new input. We hadn't had ICANN's perspective on this. So at the very least, we should consider ICANN's perspective and see if that causes us to rethink our previous position. So that's a nice example of something where we had given it due thought. We had come up with a position, but nevertheless, it may be useful to reconsider based on that input. So, yeah, thanks for flagging that. Back to you, Sharon.
Sure. Okay. The next topic is an approval threshold that flows through a number of places. So I will talk about it here, and then I'll reference it when it comes up in a couple other places. The normal standard for what board approval is required to take action is just a majority of the board. We have flagged whether you might want to have a supermajority in certain circumstances because we have this situation where we have two ICANN, two nominating committee, and a president. If you just had three, the president in either of those two groups, the president and the two ICANN or the president and the two NOMCOM, could become the three, and then that doesn't really seem to be in the spirit of what the governance should be. So we had asked the question of whether it should be a higher threshold, 4 of 5, and that would ensure that you couldn't have just three going off, one constituency kind of running off and taking action. What came back was from CWG was, yes, 4 of 5, that makes sense, and it must include both of the nominating committee directors in every approval. The point that was raised by ICANN, we think it's a legitimate and fair point, is that by requiring both of the nominating committee directors, you've given one person, one director, the power to block every vote of substance. You know, these are for the significant items. And so wouldn't it be better to just simply require a 4/5, not say that you need both of the nominating committee directors? And by saying 4/5, just the logic of it is you need to have at least one nominating committee director approving and at least one ICANN director approving. So we thought that made good sense and still achieved the spirit of what we were trying to accomplish and the intent. But it's just something, since you had given direct feedback on requiring both nominating committee directors, we wanted to flag that for you. This is a situation where what is posted for comment just has the 4/5. So if you're good with that, that's fine. If you think you need both nominating committee directors, that would have to be made in a comment. Okay. The next point is on expense reimbursement and compensation of directors. We talked about whether the PTI directors should get paid for their services, and the answer was a clear no. But there was a thought that reimbursement of expenses would be appropriate, travel expenses to meetings and the like. The comment that came from CWG was expense reimbursement was appropriate for the nominating committee directors, but not for the ICANN-appointed directors. And ICANN Legal came back and said, we don't really think it's appropriate to have, treat the directors differently. We think all the directors should be reimbursed for their reasonable travel expenses and that, you know, we should just treat everyone the same way. In some ways, it's all, you know, the money that would go to the reimbursement, either ICANN is paying the appointed directors to travel to the meetings, or indirectly ICANN is paying through funding of PTI. But the point was just, should they all be treated equally? And we thought that seemed appropriate to just, if we're just talking reimbursement of expenses, it seemed to me that was appropriate. I am going to just pause and go back because I see a comment from Alan on the chat about 4/5 implies 80%, which is unanimity if there's a vacancy, or it could be interpreted as all seated minus one. And that's right. I think we sort of acknowledge that too. If you require 4/5 and there is a vacancy, then you'd need all four. You'd need unanimity to do any of these major actions. These are significant actions, though. So we thought, you know, if you need all four, that's appropriate for these types of actions. And if it's significant enough, you can, you know, obviously fill the vacancy more quickly. But we thought that given the nature of these special approvals, these are not for ordinary course board matters. These are for special items, that, you know, the 4 of 5 would be acceptable.
Thanks, Sharon. It's Jonathan. I mean, I think that's an important argument to capture, because it's clear that, that for these, your point is that for these special circumstances, the vacancy should be filled before, you know, so that so, such a it's not it wouldn't necessarily be appropriate to set it as a percentage point. So that's interesting, and we should bear that in mind when we when and if we come to discuss this further. On the previous one on expenses, I must say, it sounds like something got slightly lost in translation. I'm not quite sure how that happened, because clearly one would expect, as you pointed out, reasonable expenses to be reimbursed one way or another. I'm just not quite sure how – I don't recall how that happened. I don't think there was an intention to exclude the ICANN directors. I think it was really – from my recollection of the discussion, it was really – the focal points were around the nominating committee directors and whether or not they were paid and whether or not they were reimbursed for expenses. And as you said, we came down on a pretty clear position of no payment but reimbursed reasonable expenses. And it felt like we perhaps didn't consider the other directors explicitly in that way, but I don't think there was ever an intention to exclude them from reasonable expense reimbursement. That's my recollection in any event. Back to you.
Thanks, Jonathan. And that may be, you know, this did not come out of a discussion that we had with you all. That this just came out of the chart you gave us back, so it may just have been something that was lost in translation. And this is one of those situations where the draft bylaws contemplate equal treatment across all directors for reimbursement of expenses, no compensation. So if that's okay, then there's nothing for CWG to comment on. That's just something
Thanks,
I wanted to
say. So that may well be a non-issue, but we can work it through on the table and just say no comment or something like that at the time. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. This four-fifths topic, and Alan had a comment, should we just say 80%? And I think that's fine, too, Alan. I think that gets to the same place and is maybe clearer. So if we want to do that, we can do that. This comes up, this four-fifths item comes up in another place, which is if you're forming committees of the board, that would require a four-fifths vote as well, on the thought that committees can have a great deal of power and you wouldn't want a committee that could be created with a less than true consensus, and then that committee is running off and doing things that are not really approved by the full board. Okay, so the next item worth noting, I think we go all the way to the budget and strategic plan. And that one I would ask if Chuck or anyone else has anything to weigh in on the draft as put forward. We didn't have any comments on it. The only thing we had flagged is the topic I had flagged on an earlier call, which is we just have a little timing issue, which is that the way it's set up is 270 days prior to the fiscal year beginning, the budget has to go to the PTI board and then get approved. But then on that exact same timeline, it has to go to the ICANN board for approval. So I think we just need a little bit of a buffer between when the PTI board approves it and then when it turns it over to ICANN. And I see Sam noting in the chat that ICANN agrees that we need a small modification on timing. This is really a purely mechanical issue, and we don't think it's anything significant, but it's otherwise internally inconsistent the way it's set up currently.
So this is Chuck, and Xavier and I talked about this in Helsinki, he and his team are working on a process to address this. Unfortunately, it wasn't possible to get it done before the document was posted for public comment. But the intent is to get it in there as soon as possible. I haven't seen it yet, unless I've missed it. I've been offline quite a bit in the last week or so. And so my understanding is that some adjustments will be made. I don't think they're major. I think the assessment by staff and Sharon are correct that this is all workable. The way it is right now probably doesn't literally meet the CWG requirements, but I don't think it's going to take, and neither did Xavier think that it was going to take any major changes. So we'll see. Oh, and I'm glad to see Xavier's hands up, and I'll turn it over to him.
Xavier, come in if you would like to. We don't hear you right now.
It sounds like some of us are having trouble with the audio and some of us aren't. I can't hear Xavier, but it sounds like others can.
I can't hear either.
Yeah, I'm on a telephone, and maybe that those on who are dialed in do not hear him, and those on Adobe do.
Same here.
I'm here.
Okay, majority do not seem to be able to hear Xavier, so and Olivier confirms he appears in Adobe Connect only in audio, so if we have to allow
him. Well, I can continue. Hopefully, we're not both talking at the same time. At the same time, I only have one more item at this point, and that is the threshold for amendments. This is also the 4/5 item, so it's the question of is 4/5 acceptable or 80% acceptable without requiring both of the nominating committee directors, which could give undue power to any one individual. So we were okay with the 4/5 subject to CWG's review. So those are the major items, or actually those are, I think, really all the items in the bylaws at this point. So you can see there's not a lot that's left open, but there are a few things for your consideration, and then we can help draft a comment letter.
Thanks, Sharon. That was, from my point of view at least, extremely helpful. And I think it'd be very useful to get that into a table. The CWG should then review that at the next meeting and try and really conclude our views on that at the next meeting in order to keep with the time frame, as I understand it, and try and correct me if you see it differently. But it feels like, we've got to work within the public comment deadline, and I need to check that. But maybe someone could help me there, how many CWG meetings we've got between now and close of public comment.
Jonathan, this is Trang. The first item that will close public comment is the PTI Articles of Incorporation that closes public comment at the end of the month. So between now and then, I believe you will have at least three more CWG meetings, and Grace or Brenda can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there are two next week and at least one the following week. Thank you, Brenda. Brenda has projected in the Adobe Connect room the calendar and schedule of CWG meetings. So that is right. We will have three more CWG calls prior to the close of the public comment period for the PTI Articles of Incorporation. The PTI governance documents, I believe the public comment window for that closes in on August 7th. So if you can go to the month of August, Brenda, I don't know if you have that.
The document is unsynced.
Sorry about that. To the month of August, then it looks like you will have four CWG calls between now and the closure of the public comment period for the Conflict of Interest Policy Board, Code of Conduct, and PTI Expected Standard of Behavior.
Okay, thanks, and Brenda, for that. So I think what we can do is we'll get that table in relatively short order from Sidley. We will we can start to look at populating that via discussion on the list, and we can deal with it further at the next meeting, and then ultimately integrate that into a public comment, either by instructing Sidley to draft that for us or authoring it ourselves. We can work that out at the next stage of the process. And then as far as the articles, which are the more urgent one, I just need to understand where we will get that, where we will capture that input. Sharon, do you have a I mean, I'm just wondering whether we just add that as part of the same table. That may be the simplest way of doing it, so we keep our a track of things in one place, and then we just hive off the top two or three items which pertain to the articles into a single public comment. That may be the neatest way of doing it. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds fine. There's only two items in the articles. It's the purpose and it's the threshold for amendments. So we'll just put those at the top of the chart, and then you can respond to those at the same time.
Yeah, that seems to me to make sense. That should be a relatively efficient way of doing it.
And thank you.
And then we'll deal with those first and most urgently so as to meet the deadline for the public comment on the articles, and then we can systematically work through these half a dozen or so, six or seven points that you've raised and give us a tour through now. Okay, so any further questions then on the articles, the key points we've heard around the bylaws, the other governance documents? Any other points or questions? Matthew Shears, come in, Matthew.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, fine. Thank you, Matthew.
Perfect. Okay. This actually has to do with I'm just seeking a clarification, and I'm sorry to take you back to, maybe Sidley could provide it, back to Article 2 of the PTI bylaws, where it talks about the principal office for transaction of business of a corporation. And it says in that article that the principal office may be established at any place or places within or without the state of California by resolution of the board. And I was just wondering if in this particular case we could have a situation where the board of PTI decided to move the principal office of PTI to some other location outside the state of California, or indeed outside the United States possibly. And if that were the case, would there be any mechanism by which the ICANN board or indeed the empowered community would have a say over that decision? And if somebody could clarify that, that would be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Matthew, I'd need to check on whether that office could be outside of California. It wouldn't change the fact that the PTI is a California nonprofit corporation. It would just be the physical location. But let me get back. I'll send an email around to you all on that.
Okay, thanks, Matthew. Thanks, Sharon. Matthew, did you re-raise your hand, or are you done? Okay, thanks. Greg Shatton, go ahead, Greg.
Hi, Greg Shatton, for the record. Just one concern I see, and maybe this has been touched on already to an extent, but maybe wanted to reiterate it. Both the articles and the bylaws, the purposes that are stated for PTI are extremely broad, you know, just to operate exclusively for the benefit of and to perform the functions of and to carry out the purposes of the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. That means that PTI, you know, is capable institutionally of doing everything that ICANN does. That's certainly not the intent of PTI. And so that seems a little odd that the purposes would be so broadly stated, especially after we, at least in the accountability group, spent, you know, oodles of time trying to be much more specific about the purposes and mission of ICANN. So that just struck me as peculiar, to say the least, especially given that the mandate of PTI is really quite restricted.
Thanks, Greg, and I'm sorry, Matthew, that I missed your earlier comment, although I didn't see that you had raised this much earlier. Sharon, do you have any comment on that? Are you able to provide any insight as to why that is or isn't a concern or an issue?
I think it's a valid concern, and I think maybe tailoring this purpose more, but there was some concern it wasn't broad enough, and then here's a concern it's too broad. And I think really what the issue is it's not tailored. It's just needs to be more precisely drafted to reflect what the IANA functions are and what PTI is actually doing.
Okay, well, that's helpful. And then just to remind me and others on the call, that will be one point in the table, isn't it? I mean, that's clearly going to come up as one of the points on the table, is the refinement or otherwise of that purpose. Sharon, that's a question for you to confirm if the dealing
yes.
with the purpose is an item on the table.
Yes, purpose is an item in both the articles and the bylaws.
Great. So we can then potentially pick that up and work on it. Greg, your hand is re-raised.
Two points. One, to follow up on that point, there's some very nice language that I think was actually cut out of the ICANN Articles of Incorporation that describes, you know, more or less well what PTI is doing. That could serve as a starting point. On a different point, and more of just kind of a point of process, I don't think that we've sent the conflict of interest policy, board code of conduct, and expected standards of behavior for PTI to CIDLI for review, since those are, you know, governance documents and grounded in legal concerns, indeed mandated by law. It seems to me, you know, appropriate to get CIDLI in the loop on those documents, and figured I would raise that here rather than, you know, trying to do it through some, you know, form of email channeling. So I would like to see that done.
Thanks, Greg. So just going back to the previous point, can we put an action on you to share that draft language that on the purpose that you're aware of? If you could take that as an action to share that language, that would be great. And then second, I'll call for any comments or responses to Greg's suggestion that the COI policy, the board code of conduct and expected standard behavior, could or should be reviewed by CIDLI. And maybe Trang or someone from ICANN, you'd like to comment on how closely or not these match the existing documents in place for the ICANN board, because that may influence thinking as to whether or not these need more substantive or review or comment from CIDLI. So any responses to that? Sam Eisner, go ahead, Sam.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Sam Eisner from ICANN Legal, and I'll respond to the item on the conflict of interest policy, board code of conduct, and expected standards of behavior. Those documents are actually very directly based off of the ICANN documents that are in existence. We went through and took the base ICANN documents, each that had been reviewed and posted for public comments and developed, you know, historically, most recently for the conflict of interest policy and the code of conduct in 2012, and for the expected standards of behavior that actually just closed a comment period and was recently updated earlier this month. and so we took those and revised them to reflect in the conflict of interest one, for example, we reflected the more limited scope of officers and the different relationships there to make it a PTI-specific document, but based on the text from the ICANN document. We did the same thing for the board code of conduct. For the expected standards of behavior, we modified those. They track the existing ICANN expected standards of behavior. However, given the non-policy role of PTI, we removed reference to policy development work and participation in policy activities that had a very prominent role in the expected standards of behavior. So they are very closely aligned to each of the correlating documents within ICANN.
Thanks, Sam. So given that explanation from Sam, how do any others feel about Greg's suggestion that these documents or proposal that these documents need review from CIDLI? Are there strong feelings in either direction? Any comments or feedback on that? Or, Greg, does that perhaps satisfy you as well? Perhaps that having heard that explanation, you might feel differently. Go ahead, Greg.
I don't think that really changes my opinion. It's helpful to know their genesis. I don't recall that we had Sidley review those documents. You know, the fact that they have precedent is useful to know, clearly, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's nothing in those that might raise issues from the point of view of the CWG. So I'd rather know that there are no issues to raise rather than just rely on the fact that they were duped and revised from existing documents to somehow, you know, make them sanitary. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Any other comments for or against what Greg is suggesting here? It's difficult to, I mean, I'm a little on the fence on this, as you can possibly sense. I mean, I've got both a personal view, but also a suggestion from one person. I think all I can suggest for now, Greg, is that you post that suggestion to the list and ask for agreement or disagreement, because it's difficult to initiate a piece of work on the suggestion of one, yet there's no one arguing against it either. So it would be good to get some feedback on this, and perhaps I could ask you to do that, and we can take it from there. So, Brenda, if you could capture that as well so it doesn't get lost, this suggestion, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's... Yeah, so that would be good to share that on the list, the suggestion. Both the documents could be recirculated and the comment that... Greg has suggested that it would be good practice for these to be reviewed by Sidley, and we want feedback from the group as to whether or not this is supported. And I guess, to be fair, given the context, that these are substantially based on existing ICANN documents.
Jonathan, Greg, again, I would just only note that Matthew Shears, Cheryl Langmore, and Martin Simon have supported my position, so my strength is the strength of four, as I am pure at heart.
Oh, I'm sorry. My chat's not scrolling. Apologies, Greg. My chat is up further up, so I hadn't been seeing that. I thought my chat was a little dead. I apologize. I hadn't even seen that. Okay. Well, given that there's a reasonable level of support for it, which I hadn't seen when I made that comment, I think let's ask to make a review of those documents. Let's agree that we will ask. Well, we should really, to be formally do this, we should put it through the client committee. And Greg, maybe you can help us find a form of wording that would be satisfactory to you, which makes it as efficient as possible, a review that doesn't make it overly onerous, but satisfies the requirement that you want. So if you could help us through the client committee formulate that request, I think that's the way to do it.
Happy to do so, Jonathan.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. And Sharon flags that in order to do that, it would be helpful to have red lines against ICANN standard documents, which seems like a reasonable point. I don't in order to understand that. Okay. With that, then, I think that concludes our work for this meeting on the bylaws, articles of incorporation, and governance documents. And that leaves us with, I'm going to skip over, for obvious reasons, the naming functions contract and the intercompany agreement, because we simply don't have those at this stage. Although I'm going to ask Sharon for one comment on this and to hear your latest thinking on this, Sharon. And that is, there's been some discussion around whether or not it is appropriate to separate out the relationship between ICANN and PTI into two contracts in the form of the naming functions contract and the intercompany agreement. Where has the dust settled on this, or is it still an open item, Sharon? Are you able to give us any comment or input? Because sooner or later, this will need to be agreed and understood. Has Sidley got a more current view, or can you give me any update on that, or us any update on that?
We don't have a further update on that. I don't know if Sam Eisner can weigh in on the status of that.
In other words, Sharon, before we go to Sam, Sidley's view remains that ideally this should be all in a single contract, or is it, what's your sort of current position on this, or is it yet to be determined?
In part, it's hard to know without seeing what's in that contract, but the concern I have in separating the contracts from one into two is that this intercompany agreement would be completely outside of any governance oversight that's available through the ICANN bylaws. The ICANN bylaws only cover the PTI ICANN contract. So if there's anything in this intercompany agreement that's really critical, there is no accountability. That's the concern I have. But maybe there's nothing in there that matters that much, but I just don't know because I haven't seen a term sheet for it.
Okay, well, that's very helpful already, because that indicates that there is, it flags the issue, but indicates that really it's not possible to deal with it substantially until such time as we see the scope and content of those two proposed agreements. So that's fine. That's helpful to me. But let me defer and see if Sam, if there is anything you'd like to say on this at this stage, or if you'd like to also wait until the drafts have been, or the scope and or drafts have been shared with Sidley and the positions are further clarified. Sam, is there anything you'd like to add at this stage?
Thanks, Jonathan. I just want to confirm that I think that we're actually very aligned with Sidley in the way that Sharon just presented the issue. We need to make sure that things that are really material have a place for that governance control, and that things that are operational that might not need that same governance control might not need to be in there. And so I think that the way that she expressed it is really very consistent with how we are working on the document. And I lost a little bit of connectivity when Tring was doing the update. I don't know if she presented any update on when we'll be releasing the IANA naming functions contract. But we're also intending to release ahead of terms on the intercompany agreement as well at the same time, so that you can assess how they work together. And we've been very sensitive to that exact type of concern that Sharon just mentioned. So I think that we're actually very aligned in how these things could move forward together.
Okay, well, from my point of view, subject to any further comment from Trang, then that deals with the issue for now. We're aware that there is a prospective issue, but it's not clear that there is an issue, and if we are to see the draft names function contract simultaneous with a head of terms for the intercompany agreement, that may well make it into a non-issue or a readily resolvable issue. So, Trang, is there anything you wanted to add there, or do you think we've covered it well enough?
We've covered it well enough, Jonathan, and we are very hopeful that we'll be able to get not just the naming functions contract and the intercompany services agreement sort of term sheet out today, but also the two subcontracting agreements for the numbers and protocol parameters as well. I think we're at a place where we are very close to getting those documents finalized internally, so I'm hopeful that we can release them either today or tomorrow.
Okay, great. And I'll note that Sam Eisner confirms in the chat that they will be able to provide their red lines to Sidley on the previous documents. We're talking about conflict of interest, board code of conduct, and expected standard behavior. So that's good. Let's move on then to the RZERC charter. And this is an area where I'm a little weak as to where we are, so I could do with some help from Trang or someone else as to what the issues are or what's outstanding with respect to RZERC charter. I think we've closed the public comment. We've had some public comment. And, Trang, maybe you could remind me where we stand on this and what, if anything, we expect from the group at this stage.
Thank you, Jonathan. On the RZERC, the status of that is we have closed public comment period for the RZERC charter. Brent, I don't know if you can go ahead and load a couple of slides that I have sent on the Arthur Charter into the Adobe Connect room. We, as I mentioned, we received comments from seven entities, and we are currently in the process of doing the staff summary and analysis of those comments, as well as updating the charter based on the comments received. There is one area of comment that we received that we wanted to flag for the CWG, and that's on the next slide. You can go to the next slide, Brenda. For consideration, and that is around the quorum and voting threshold section of the ARZR charter. And the couple of comments that we received was that perhaps there could be more details added around the quorum and voting threshold, because that seems a bit light for the typical charter for working groups. And that comment was submitted by CNIC. And then the RYSG also commented that the composition of the ARZRG includes representations from both the ICANN board and a PTI representative. And so that may cause a disproportionate share of influence on any type of decisions or actions that the ARZRG take. And so the RYSG recommended that a clause be added to the charter to prevent that potential disproportionate share of influence. And so that's sort of along the lines of voting threshold. So that's one area that we wanted to flag for this group, to consider. Within the IOTF, we had significant conversations around voting threshold and quorum, and decided to keep it very light, essentially requiring that consensus be that we would have consensus for all decisions and actions by the ARZRG. And the reason behind that is that the issues that this committee would consider are of great importance. So it is essential to have consensus amongst all parties in order to be able to ensure that the recommendation that's being made by the ARZRG is a sound recommendation that's supported. So that's the reason for why we kept it light in the charter. But given that, we've received these couple of comments, we wanted to check back with this group and see if additional discussions, if this group wants to have additional discussions and around these topics, the quorum and voting threshold. And if not, then ICANN's position would be to default back to the discussions that's already been had within the IOTF when the ARZRG charter was drafted, and keep the language as is.
So, Trang, it's Jonathan here. Here's a suggestion on process. I think it would be helpful, perhaps, if you shared, notwithstanding any comments others might want to make, but maybe the best way to deal with this is to take a table along the lines of the public comment tool, which you may be using, and just indicate the comment, the proposed response, and perhaps the rationale, essentially seek, because that is what your role is, it seems to me, is you put the document out, you've had the public comment, you're going to respond to it, and really you want to know if there's any objections to your responses is what it feels like to me you need. Go ahead.
Certainly, Jonathan, we can definitely do that. I think a lot of how we plan on addressing a lot of I guess there's a few categories of comments. Some of the comments raise concerns that's actually already addressed by the charter, so there's no edits or any additional work needed. There's another category of comments which are not consistent with the proposal language at all, and so therefore we would not be implementing those comments. And then there are sort of comments that are in the gray area, which is, what I've shown here. The voting, the quorum and voting threshold is not something that's specified in the CWG proposal. However, we include it in the charter because that is it's something that's good to direct sort of the work of the ARZRG, and so that is reflected in the charter. And it's also a common thing for for committee charters to contain. And so, you know, in terms of how do we deal with these type of issues, that's the sort of gray area. So we wouldn't necessarily need to seek for the CWG's input and feedback on all comments, because for a lot of them, it's pretty clear in terms of how we would address them. But I could certainly highlight those that are in the gray area where, you know, we would want to see what the CWG would like to do in terms of whether or not we stick with the language that's in the charter, or if there should be further discussions.
That sounds sensible enough. It's really a matter of trying to get through this and make sure that you get the confidence that you need that the action taken is not controversial or going to cause difficulty.
Right.
So that sounds sensible.
So certainly, Jonathan, by next week we should be able to share with the group a table of some sort along the lines of what you had requested.
Okay. Given that, is there anything else would you like to cover the other points now, or do you think it's better to just pick up on that table next time?
I think we can pick it up next week when we have the table ready. I think really this is the only area where that's a bit gray. The only other thing is the comments that the RSAC has submitted relating to the scope of the RZERC and potentially it being a little bit broad. So we're working through on how to address that comment and should have more information next week. So I think in terms of timing, next week may work best.
Okay. Thanks, Trang. Well, that deals with that then. Thank you for that and for your response. The next item then is the work on the IANA IPR, and as you may recall, this has been handled by a group of representatives of the three different communities that depend on IANA for its functions and therefore have a shared interest in the IANA IPR, and the representatives of that group were, from the naming community's point of view, were myself, Greg, and Lisa. And we've worked over some time and produced some work, and we've got to a certain point now. And I think it's probably appropriate that I'll just hand this over to Greg. Greg, if you could give just very briefly remind people how we got to where we are and what the issues are and where we're working. And I think we're still in a stage of midway through getting the legal advice from Sidley, but perhaps you can detail that. And I think we would then hope to bring to the group for decisions or further input at the next meeting. But perhaps you could provide an update and see if there are any questions or issues arising at this point.
Well, thanks, Jonathan. It's Greg Shatton again. The collaborative group that Jonathan mentioned did come up with what we call the principal terms for the IPR documents, which were done. Hello?
Yeah, you're still on, Greg.
Okay. Okay, somebody else's problem, not mine. Okay. Well, in any case, we'll speak over the beeping. We came up with these principal terms, but these were done, really kind of on what you might call a business level, and were subject to legal comment by Sidley. We initially had Sidley look at the document and provided a number of comments. Then we had a follow-up meeting phone call with Josh Hoffheimer from Sidley to discuss his comments, see if we had resolved them or if they were, it was an understanding that they were of the type that could be resolved when we turned to drafting the definitive agreements. Through that discussion, we were able to eliminate quite a number of open items from the Sidley comments, and Sidley has just served up last couple of days a revised set of comments, which is down to basically six open items. This needs to be reviewed, and then we'll have a further discussion with Josh to you know, see how, you know, we might need to resolve these issues as well, and maybe that these are issues that will then need to be discussed with representatives of the other two communities. One of the things that we flagged that there probably is a need for a discussion with representatives of the IETF Trust with regard to some of the things with regard to their management and funding of the actions and activities in holding the IPR and the domain names. So that's something that is an action item to be scheduled. At the same time, we have been moving forward on the definitive documentation. IETF Trust Council took it upon themselves to prepare a first draft of the community agreement and the license agreement, and those have now been circulated to Sidley for review. I have not had a chance to look at them myself, but I'm sure they'll, you know, at least serve as a starting point for drafting of those documents. The plan is actually to have the license agreement be three license agreements, but we might as well start from a single draft and work on it as one document as long as possible before it's cloned and adapted ever so slightly to the three different communities' particular facts and needs and parties to those documents. So I think that pretty much summarizes where we stand. One footnote to what Jonathan said earlier, there's been a somewhat of a changing of the guard on the numbers side as the team that was initially representing numbers came kind of from the ASO level of things, and it's now shifting to an RIR level team. So that's just kind of a footnote to the whole process. If anybody has any questions, happy to answer them.
Thanks, Greg. So I guess the message is that we are getting on with this because there have been some concerns in the broader communities that this hasn't been progressing as well as it could or should. I think it's going tolerably well in terms of the pace, and the spirit to which things are being done is very good. So we just need to keep it ticking over. There was one other point that Alyssa raised, actually, on the IOTF call on our implementation oversight group that she's been tracking, is that we need to make as many of the other groups aware that the substance of the names community work in implementation oversight and so on is now going to take place back in this group. So if any of you are connected to anyone who has been following this group, not from the names community or anyone else, if we could encourage as much participation and activity in this group over the next few weeks, that would be very helpful, and so we keep everyone on board and get the work done as we need to. Thanks, Greg. Thank you for that update, and we'll go ahead and meet with Josh and Sidley for a second meeting and hopefully have participation and involvement from one or more members of the IETF trustees.
Thank you.
All right, good. So that really allows us to then move on to item four, which is the work of the client committee. We've been very diligent historically in making sure that the client committee didn't instruct or request anything from Sidley that the group hadn't asked for, and I think we've tried to continue doing so. There was a lot of sensitivity at the very outset when the client committee was set up to ensure that it wasn't an executive group outside of this, and was there to channel and manage our relationship with Sidley. So we will continue to make every effort to do so, You can see the work that's got to go on next. It's the work of making sure that these key PTI documents are handled properly and that we deal with the IANA IPR. So whilst We haven't, I'm not detailing absolutely specific instructions to go across. The essence of the work that's being done is that. We had a request from the implementation staff to permit them to post to that list. When we set up the client committee list, we originally set it up with no posting rights from ICANN staff. There was a sensitivity around potential conflict of interest and so on. I've talked about this with Lisa, and I think our view is that we're not in such a sensitive stage of the work at this stage, and that to the extent that it's practical from a project management and operational perspective, we don't have a concern and certainly could open that up to Trang and colleagues from ICANN being able to post to that list if it's efficient. And so I just wonder if there are any objections to that or if Grace says she's already able to post. I think it was particularly perhaps ICANN legal. So given that that's the case, I think, and the motivation here is not to subvert the work of the group, but just to make sure that any proper coordination is taking place. I think that's what we're proposing to the group. The proposal is that we have ICANN project team be able to post to the client committee list for the purposes of smooth running of the project. Any concerns or issues or objections to that? Okay, seeing none, we'll set that up in place, and if serious concerns arise for whatever reason, we can revisit that. But for the moment, we'll go ahead with that. And I think that's it. Let me just check my own notes and see if there's anything else that I feel we should cover. From my perspective, that's it. Let me see. Is there anyone else that would like to add anything? One thing I would say is, please can I encourage you all to, if you have interaction with other members or participants in the CWG, is just to encourage, let them know that this work is going ahead in its high-intensity phase, and we'd like as much active participation as possible as we try and bring this to a conclusion. We have currently set the next few meetings. We got a request for time rotation, and the minute you go into time rotation, or if you don't, you sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't, inevitably you're going to inconvenience someone by either sticking to the time or rotating it. So today's meeting was at 1500 UTC. Our next meeting, you can double-check on the calendar, but I believe it's 1400 UTC, and then the next one will be 0600 UTC, which is going to be just about tolerable from the West Coast and very nasty on the East Coast of the United States, but, of course, for much more sympathetic to Asia, Australasia. Any feedback you can give us, and we recognize we won't please all the people all the time, would be helpful, and, of course, we will monitor who's on those calls for the number of attendees and location and try and manage this accordingly. So the calls are provisionally all scheduled at 1400 UTC, save for the next two, which are 1400 and 0600, and we'll modify those times as we move through the sequence. So for the moment, we haven't even provisionally scheduled them at 1400. We've just put a placeholder on the day, but we'll come back to you on timing as the thinking develops on this. And in particular, if you're on a sort of, if you're on a less populous time zone or you feel that you've been prejudiced by the call times, please let us know and we'll do our best to accommodate you. Okay, with that, I think I'll bring the meeting to a close. Thank you for helping make it an efficient meeting and thanks, Sidley, for your input. And we'll pick this up shortly. So we've managed to succeed in finishing in 90 minutes, which is good news. Thanks, everyone, and we'll talk with you on list and in the forthcoming meetings.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.